Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. Today we are doing a follow-up episode on our last podcast episode discussing the Aubrey Marcus Radical Monogamy episode he put out and the overwhelming response that we've received from people in our comment section. We really want to reflect today on the positives that have come from not only our video, Aubrey's original podcast, but the many, many responses and other episodes, videos that have come out talking about this topic more, how this has really stirred something collectively and what we're moving forward into with this greater exposure of some darker things happening in the spiritual community. Over the week since our posting our last episode, much more has come up for us personally as we've sat longer with the themes and the topics that were shared in this particular episode of. And even more information has come forth too that we really want to add to the conversation to expand our awareness of leaders, gurus, guides, teachers, so that we can really start to sharpen our own trust in our instincts, trust in our read of others, be really sovereign in our energy and our choices as we continue to awaken in a time where we are being, you know, asked to look at so much darkness and at the same time seeking truth, seeking guidance, seeking to know, seeking to learn and grow. That sovereignty is so important right now. So we want to add some more information to this conversation so that hopefully you can help to really sharpen that discernment within you and lean into trusting yourself more and more. Because I think the biggest thing for me that came out of this whole thing was feeling gaslit around trusting that inner instinct that I had when watching that first episode. And I think many of the comments suggest that without us being able to tangibly say what we felt. Some people have been able to articulate that really well in some of their responses. And I do encourage people to just watch a variety because there's some great conversation around, you know, what's been brought up. But it was for me that big piece of just like, if I have a negative reaction to this, that, you know, that's your stuff. It's not our stuff. And don't trust that feeling. And I think it was a, you know, something we saw in Villana so deeply as well. Amanda, what a week. I feel like it's been such a week. First and foremost, because we've had a really great response to our episode and more people talking about this. And it just feels like a time where we're really changing as humans, as spiritual beings, how we show up for the work. And it's just been this real rattling of the cage of our own individual responsibilities of who we're giving our power to and who we're choosing to be a guide for us. And so we've had like some other offline conversations and tapped into some other podcasts as well, which we'll talk about in future episodes that are really exposing more and more of these leaders, let's say, really not having, you know, people within their circles, within their coaching, you know, clientele, not having their best interests at heart and maybe really sort of tapping out of a grounded responsibility or knowing of their place to be a leader.
Yeah. I think that I want to thank Aubrey Marcus, right? Like, I'm sorry for him that he is, I imagine it's not a fun time for him. And, but he is showing, he's teaching us and showing us what needs to be seen. As you spoke to, I think he's exemplifying a broader phenomenon that's happening on a collective level in terms of anywhere where foundations were built on the old way of doing things, of ego. And, you know, maybe he didn't well, maybe he didn't start fully in ego, or I imagine there was ego there. But I think in the past, an ego-driven platform or foundation was rewarded in the metrics of success, money, power, fame. And he received that, but he was still wearing this costume of spirituality. And I mean, I've not heard any stories of him being like a mean human being. Like a lot of times so maybe his use of power comes out in a more loving, light way, but there's still a level of manipulation that he's using his power to feed his ego. And so I think that people are becoming more discerning. People are starting to go inwards more, to choose where they can no longer just look away when they see what they saw in that podcast.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a sign. It's a very positive sign of where we are and where we're going. And, you know, I hope for Aubrey that it's an opportunity for him to become humble. And, you know, maybe that opportunity exists. I don't know. I will say that I've watched some of his ex-girlfriend's Instagram videos, reels, since this has all happened. And I think that there's some indication that she was not left with a good taste in her mouth from her relationship with him. And there was a lot of healing that she had to do. And I think she's used the word narcissist to describe him. And so the fact that, if he has his ex-fiance with another who was his best woman at his wedding. So he has a friendship with a former ex, but there's also the ex that he was in the polyamorous relationship with that does not have a favorable response of how that relationship was. And what I took from her response is that she contorted and abandoned herself to satisfy him, that she wasn't enough and she had to heal from that. And so I think that's what people were seeing in this episode. And so I think that it's so subtle, it was subtle but obvious, right? And because people have watched Aubrey Marcus, they've supported Marcus, and I don't think he saw this one coming as far as the response that people had. But I also think that, you know, if he's surrounding himself with people that are, you know, yes people or in this, like he's in a bubble and he thinks that what he's doing was okay. But then it's like this outside view looking in, it's like, hey, this is not, there's incongruency in your energy, in your words, in your, what you've said historically, they're not adding up. And yeah, I think that people speaking up has been a really positive result of this whole situation.
Yeah. I second that. Like, you know, I think in the past, people would just be like, oh, you know, just some influencer trying to be, you know, I don't know, like not scandalous or just kind of push the limits and push the boundaries, whatever, who cares? But you touched a nerve. And I think exactly, it's just really smart people to use their voice. And the thing, as we said in our last episode, not in just a way to say what you're doing is wrong, to deeply touch their hearts and their souls of, you know, this is to expose what this is, you know, to talk about what divine union truly is, to talk about the healthy masculine, healthy feminine, to talk about what else came to mind. Just the power imbalances, to talk about narcissism, to talk about, you know, manipulation, because the thing that's so poorly with me for so long was so hard to shake watching that episode. It was just how coded in language it was to kind of break it down so people could to make it palatable. And it just was trying so hard to wrap it up in this perfect picture. And, you know, it did, it just, it wasn't real. It didn't do what it was supposed to do to make us just be like, oh, how fascinating. Maybe I should consider this new framework. It really, you know, we all saw through that facade. But getting people to activate their voices and speak up. But from a spiritual perspective, what I really feel like has happened with this activation of people's voices, I get this image of us sort of like turning on lights across a grid. And, you know, instead of it just being that we kind of let things happen, people took a stand. They really said, no, we're not okay with X, Y, and Z. And it has sparked such a great debate and conversation around the spiritual community and what's really going on and the darkness that does exist within it. And I have said before, I'd hate talking about the fact that dark exists, but it's been humbling for me to see, wow, like it's even infiltrated such a beautiful sacred space. And it is such a time of discernment, as we've said. And so people really using their voices to speak in a really loud way, I think has helped us anchor in a response to that darkness, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? It was like lights going on and us kind of putting down our foot and saying, you know what? We're not buying that darkness. We're not buying that manipulation. We're not buying that distortion. We stand for something else. And that felt really powerful to witness and to watch. And you know, I'm proud of us, you know, us, you and I, everybody else who did speak to this from such grounded places of, you know, it feels hard to say the word truth now because of the way it was used in that episode. But for what is true for us, you know, when we think about our own spiritual paths, our own growth, our own, you know, connection with something greater. Like it was really a challenge to watch truth used in that way, you know, because again, it just threw that into the mix of like, that's truth. But, you know, I'm not anyone who can stand here and tell you what is truth and what isn't and has a better explanation of it, but it wasn't truth. It didn't feel like truth to so many people. And so, yeah, I think that's a powerful positive that's come from that we've as a collective and, you know, many people that maybe have not publicly said anything in any kind of like social media or platform with a video, but are having these conversations at home or with their friends, we're anchoring in a very much more, let's say, light-filled response to actually a lot of darkness that came up through that episode.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I like that analogy of those lights popping on. And it's almost like when we see behind the curtain of something, when something is exposed, we cannot not be deceived by that individual again, right? Like, so we're gonna, most people who've saw what happened are gonna question him and not trust him. Like he broke his trust, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But then it has to make you question like, well, how authentic and honest was everything else that I listened to whenever I listened to what he had to say. And, you know, I'd say he had conversations with a lot of interesting people. And so, you know, I didn't listen to him all the time, but there were episodes that I found to be quite interesting. It's almost like he got too high, like on a pedestal. And it's like he needed to come down a bit, and I'm sure it doesn't feel good, but for him. But I think that his ego brought him to this place in time, and so it's time to do a little bit of soul searching and reevaluate. And that's about him. But for the people watching, it's like, you know, part of the awakening, you know, our podcast is the Awakening Conversations. It's all about the awakening process. And it's like once you see beyond the illusion of one thing, it's a lot harder to be deceived by others. And you start questioning more of like, you know, if you see these patterns arise in others, are you going to just let it slide, maybe like you, or, you know, you didn't quite see it, but once you see it, you can't unsee it is the point of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, I've watched a few, you know, as you mentioned, some other videos since then. And I came across, and what's been cool about this is finding people who I have no idea who they are, mm-hmm. but I appreciated their take of things. And one guy that I found, he is called the Concrete Shaman. And he is this like recovering, he talks about recovery and being sober, and that's part of his journey. And so he did, I watched two videos of him, and the second one he did was called The End of Love and Light. And thanks to Aubrey Marcus, I think is the title. We can put it in the show notes. And he was thanking Aubrey for the end of love and light, like fake plastic spirituality. And he's like, I want to have permission to be gritty and true and not be this fake picture that the spiritual community, for lack of a better word, has sold of what spirituality is. The whole like Instagram persona, the festivals, like what is it? Is that true spirituality, or is it mm-hmm. being real, honest, authentic, and not being these perfectly curated example of what spirituality is? And so that was a kind of a shortish video, and I liked his energy, and I came across him in the process. And then I came across another video. This one has nothing to do with Aubrey Marcus or spirituality, but it's by this woman named Tara Voss, and it was called Why Influencers Feel So Fake and Annoying. And this was a relatively recent video, or came in the past week, I think. And she was exploring how influencers came to be, how, you know, why people were gravitated towards influencers. And initially it's because they were relatable. And then as influencers, their platforms grew, they grew in notoriety and wealth in all these aspects, and they no longer had the same relatability as when people first started following them. And yet they needed to pretend to be relatable in order to sell whatever they were peddling. And so it became this inauthentic performance influencers have been doing. And what she is speaking to is, I think, really representative of what we're seeing with Aubrey, is that people are starting to see through the illusion, and mm-hmm. people are no longer giving their power, and part of power is our attention, mm-hmm. to those that are trying, pretending to be authentic in order to sell us something. You know, mm-hmm. I saw Aubrey put on Instagram selling, I think it was a powder of his that he makes or something. And, you know, the comments have been a little bit tough, but, you know, like, hey, you're out here hawking your stuff. Like, that was the gist of it. That was mm-hmm. exactly what it said. Like, you're hawking your stuff already. Like, you know, but that's kind of the model of the influencer, mm-hmm. is that, you know, create a following. Mm-hmm. And then I can sell you the things. Yeah. What happens when the following is not happy with you? And it's mm-hmm. like, you keep trying to sell the things because that's your income. And mm-hmm. so I don't know. I thought that was interesting, kind of just observation, mm-hmm. this economy that we're existing in, and how people are starting to change and how willing they are to give people their money, their attention, their time, et cetera.
Yeah. And like, that word discernment just comes back up of like, where, as you said, we see through the illusion, and now we're like, okay, no, I'm not going to buy into this anymore. And, you know, interesting, as you said that, like the influencer went from being authentic and that was what people connected with, and then they kind of amassed this wealth and notoriety. And then we go from being an authentic, potentially more aligned to the truth of who we are, to ego, right? It's to be an influencer is to be, you know, in the worst sense of it, very egoic and presented a certain way, right? So it's curated, and you don't curate your authenticity. It's usually messy and strange and kind of weird, which is what makes it authentic and beautiful and unique and, you know, people get it. But when things become curated and, you know, I have to look a certain way, be a certain way, you know, and you see that so much in that influencer world of how they change and they become very ego-centered. The other things I wanted to say to all of what you said, you know, with Aubrey, you know, stepping out and sharing this, and for many of us breaking the spell, or many of his followers breaking the spell of how they saw him. And it really is an invitation for us to say, where else do I have someone on a pedestal? Where else do I think that someone knows better than me? Or, you know, really, that's the biggest question here, because we don't need necessarily anyone outside of us to help us guide our own lives. We have within us all the knowledge, all the resources that we ever need if we can get quiet enough and tap into it to lead ourselves by our values, lead ourselves by what is intuitively right for us and wrong for us, that gut instinct that we saw, you know, trampled on and sacrificed within that episode by Vailana. You could feel that. So, you know, it's been a big lesson for me of where I've had people on pedestals, and over the years, you know, what it feels like for someone to drop off that and then be like, okay, let me do a last little scan here, because this is not good energy. And, you know, happened to me the last time, probably 2022, the last of the people that I think I had on a pedestal came crashing down. I was like, got to see this person in the reality of their lives, not in this portrayal that very much is the Instagram appearance and the what she says in retreats and how she introduces people. And I was just like, got this back behind the scenes understanding of what her life is and who she really is. I was just like, wow, like, and I had thought you were this, and like, you know, drank up everything she said and, you know, wanted to be around her, wanted to learn from her. And then I was like, oh, actually, you know, that's just a front. There's actually what goes behind, what, you know, the back end of that doesn't quite, you know, isn't what's fueling that front. It's actually quite dysfunctional. There's a gap, and then there's the who I want to be seen as. And so, you know, it was a great lesson for me where I had a spiritual, you know, let's say leader on a pedestal, thinking that she knew more than me, and to maybe even model myself off her. And no, actually, that's just that deception, let's say, once again. And then something else that I wanted to say too is, you know, when we talk about spirituality, and really it isn't something that is this performative thing, spirituality. It isn't just this highs. Spirituality, the deepest sense of spirituality, happens in the most mundane and challenging moments. That's when we tap into our spirituality the most, right? It's when we're going through the hard stuff. You know, an awakening in and of itself is a challenging, confronting experience, depending on how it's happened for us. And, you know, that's why these times feel so challenging and confronting, is because we're being forced to awaken. And, you know, I think, yes, there's the beautiful moments of the spiritual experience where we might be like deep into meditation and we feel joy and we feel bliss and we feel peace, but that's not only what it is. And as I said last week, it's not these purely peak experiences. That's not grounded spirituality. That's not the totality of what it is to be spiritual. You need to be spiritual and through all of it. And I do think that what they tried to portray in that episode was that we are being spiritual through the challenging and the all of this sacrifice. But again, that, you know, there was someone, I can't remember his name, but he so eloquently put it that, you know, our edges and our boundaries and our gut instinct is not something to transcend. You know, that our no, our moral no, our inner compass, that gut reaction of this isn't right for me, is not something to transcend and, you know, push past to contort to fit someone else's view. And, you know, I think it was also a challenging thing for what love is, what is true love, you know. And I think it was a manipulation of true love to witness that episode, and what you would ask of someone for love. And again, I said it last week too, conditional. It was conditions. There was conditions, you know, and that isn't the definition of true love in my opinion.
Yeah. Manipulation. And, you know, it's subtle, right? Like, and it's subtle. And I think that people, like we mentioned last week, they can, when you're in it, you can convince yourself that you're doing this for spiritual reasons, or you really love this person, and they, this is, and you know, I don't know if we talked about it, but it's like, you know, in Vailana's mind, like, this is love. And, but yet she mentioned that she's never truly had a monogamous relationship. So how can you, if you've only had relationships where betrayal has been the norm, how do you have a template for what a, a relation like that? That's, we tend to, I mean, it sounds like she's done work, but at the same time, it's like we, it's not uncommon to repeat the same patterns. And, you know, I've heard more things since then about like how he was with Whitney weeks prior, like, you know, allegedly, I don't know first, but very like a couple weeks prior to getting married to Vailana. And so it's like this idea that to me, that's not a sacred container, right? Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the episodes that we, or a podcast that we both watched, I don't remember the name of it, but it was this three men talking about masculinity. And it's like, if you are in your masculine, there's no way you're giving permission for your woman to go be with another man. And that's, and no woman truly wants her man to consent to that, right? And it's almost like it was a permission slip for him to do what he wanted to do. If like, hey, you know, I'm being the bigger man here and letting you go be with other men. It's like, that's actually not what, you know, truly masculine. Like, that's not how a woman feels safe with like, oh, I don't care who you're with. Like, I will share you with others, you know? And I think they painted it as like, well, we're transcending jealousy. We're transcending the old ways. And, you know, some things do need to change in our patterns and relationships. And there are other things that aren't meant to change, in my opinion. And so, yeah, I think that, yeah, let's talk about more the manipulation. So a part of that that I think I spoke to in the last episode was the Dr. Mark Gaffney, right? He, in how I mentioned that I saw it, was that he was also the permission slip for Aubrey to pursue his desires, right? If we're using this, let's bring in a doctor who has this framework about what relationships could be in this new model. And he can guide us through this path. It's like, and let's reframe this taboo topic, this taboo that, label.
That the wife is clearly uncomfortable with. Has she stated from the beginning. Said that. Yeah.
Right. Let's rebrand it. And so like, this is like his good business and marketing acumen here on display in his relationship of like, let's sell this. Let me get someone to be the advocate for this model so we can continue in this relationship. And so I think I sensed an ick factor from the doctor, and it mentioned, I didn't really go into depth of anything. I didn't go into depth about anything about him, but I've done some more digging about him. And I think sharing just so people can have an awareness of what is the information that's out there about him. So if you were feeling your read was questionable, these are some things that might affirm what you were feeling. So Dr. Mark Gaffney, they called him a rabbi, and he was ordained as a rabbi in Israel. And he also, I believe he went to Oxford, and I'm not sure what his doctorate is in, but he studied Judaism and mystical Judaism. And he had ideas about love and relationships that were not conventional. And he started a group in Israel that there were multiple allegations of him, of sexual relationships with those in this group. And let's see. So five women from the Beit Hadash community in Israel accused Gaffney of sexual exploitation. He admitted to relationships with some of the women, but maintained they were consensual. Following these allegations, the Beit Hadash center closed and Gaffney fled Israel. So that was in 2006. In the 1980s, there were two women that accused him of sexual assault when they were teenagers. And he acknowledged those relationships, or he acknowledged a relationship with a 14-year-old girl when he was 19, but claimed it was consensual. And so he made a comment that she was 14 going on 35 and I never forced her. So, you know, he acknowledged it. He said she consented, but he's not recognizing there that there's any problem that she was 14. And that, So there is some questionable judgment from the beginning there. And then in 2016, a former student publicly accused him of molesting her when she was 13. He denied those allegations. And then there was a lawsuit in 2019. So these are the allegations that are out there. And then also one of his ex-wives, he was married three times. And one of his ex-wives, her name is Chaya Lester, his third wife, she publicly accused him of emotional and psychological abuse during their marriage from 1994 to 2004. And she detailed her experiences. I cataloged what I described as my story of abuse and wrote that I had gone public to protect some girl. So a common pattern here is that he denounces all these as a smear campaign. And so that made me wonder, like, what is this smear campaign? There has to be a reason why people would smear you. And he pointed to three individuals, one of them being his ex-wife. And it was kind of like, oh, she's resentful. Oh, he's jealous. And so doesn't seem like a smear campaign when it's like three different reasons. Usually that's somewhat orchestrated as far as smear campaigns go. And so what I see is that there is, you know, this could be truly be a smear campaign is one of the possibilities. But the other is that he's an abuser and he's manipulative and he uses narcissistic tactics to deflect responsibility. And so, you know, if it were just one or two, yes, that could be a lot more easily be believable. But when there's patterns of accusations, when it's been from the very beginning, from the 80s, that's another aspect. And then there's another interesting quote that was found. So someone named Terry Patton, he was a former assistant or associate of Gaffney's, said the following. He would frequently use others to legitimize himself and then take up center stage, tainting the transmission with his inflation, perverting the goodness at the heart of the movement. And so to me, that's what I felt was going on here in this instance, was that he saw the opportunity. I'm just imagining that Aubrey has this desire, and so it's was the perfect opportunity. Aubrey has this platform for him to get out his radical monogamy framework that he was so excited to like coin. And this is what we're calling it. We're calling it radical monogamy. And Aubrey is going to get this out there. And this throuple that people want to be like and aspire to, like they're going to sell it. And that's what it felt like to me. Like that's what was going on with him there. Mm. And so like they were advantageous, like they were using each other. Aubrey was using him to affirm that his desires and help get the ladies on board. And he was using Aubrey to sell his framework. And like, they were the others that were legitimizing his, I'll say, controversial viewpoints of relationships. And, and then one more thing I'll just add is like, in all of this, like, who is this person to be counseling us on mm-hmm. relationships.
Yeah.
When he has not had a successful marriage.
Yeah.
He has these out, you know, if you have a wife that is so angry with you that they're going to allege, you know, not to say that this doesn't happen where people are accused of things that don't happen, mm-hmm. but she still continues to this day to affirm that this happened. And mm-hmm. so is he the role model that we should be taking in relationship advice from,
yeah.
given his track record?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm sorry yeah. if this is a smear campaign, but his rebuttal is not very convincing as far as what I've found.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the relationship, he seems to be in the middle of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, there's yeah. actually four people in that relationship: Mark Gaffney, Alana, the add-in, and the married couple, right? And so it does. I think many people saw that too and felt he was like the puppet master pulling the strings, right? And yeah, it's almost like he's on that podcast to help back up Aubrey, you know, to add the credibility. So it's like, I've got the doctor here. This is legitimize it. And, but yeah, why would you put a man like that with a, you know, and again, the most important thing is, does he have a successful relationship that he is able to speak from and model from? You know, has he done that work to have a sacred union with a third person? No. Has he had done the work to have a sacred union with one person? No. Three failed marriages, for whatever reasons. But, you know, that was part of my own awakening too, is like my spiritual teacher said to me, don't take advice from anyone who doesn't have a relationship you would aspire to have. That can tell you from their own experience, you know, like if someone is not even in a partnership and they're telling you something about your own partner, like, what grounds do they have and, you know, authority do they hold to be giving you relationship advice? And so, you know, I even find it with my clients too, when they go through hard things, like, what do I know about relationships? You know, I know how to work in my own and I try to show up my best from my own. And I know that they're challenging, you know, so none of us really in any position to tell anyone else how to run their relationship or to give them a framework and a model, especially when it's not something that you has born from your 25, 30 year long, successful, loving, deeply committed relationship. So yeah, it feels very like evil and icky. And who is this person? You know, and again, there was a clip and a part of what he said there that was repeated over and over again in many different things throughout the week of, like, you know, I can't remember the full statement, but we're calling it radical monogamy. And paradoxically, it's ... I can't remember the part that comes after it. But the more I watch that, the more I'm like, this is pure insanity. Like, listen to this guy. Like, he's trying to convince us of something by using this jargon and this reframe. And you can see that that's exactly what's happened within this situation, as he's met with Vailana and whoever, or Aubrey, but probably mostly Vailana. How can he like just keep doing this shift? And I think he even does this with his hands a lot because he's constantly trying to turn it around. You know what I mean? Like, that's
mold you like clay.
We're gonna paradoxically do this and it's blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's another great example of potentially even where Aubrey unconsciously is giving away his power to someone that he feels is, you know, again, I think when you read the energy of the two, he's there in service of this desire that he has, right? Like, but he's in some way, like, that's awful for a relationship to have, you know, we've got our challenges and we're going to bring in some other person that's intimately involved in the inside of our relationship. Like, you know, okay, there's sex therapists and there's relationship therapists, but you go into their office for 1 hour call and you go home and you do the work. He feels like he's like in there with them.
Yeah. A little too involved and intimate. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most of us aren't having therapists like on, you know, whatever exchange is happening in that relationship.
Now, where are we giving away undue power to somebody? Where are we leaving ourselves, let's say, open and vulnerable? Because I think that's a challenging part too of the awakening journey is, you know, we do have these experiences and we want to grow. We want to learn. We want to, you know, discover more. And so there's not every single teacher and guide that's out there has the best intentions for you. You know, some have their own agendas, and he is a bit of an example of that. And, you know, in future episodes, we're going to bring in some more about different guides and gurus and teachers who have gone on to manipulate their students and clients. And, you know, it can happen to the best of us, but it's, you know, that I just think that's, there's that vulnerability, or sometimes a vulnerability when we're open, you know, and not everyone has the best intention for your openness. You know, some want your money, some just want your energy and your attention, and to boost their own egos or whatever it is. So it's, again, this deep discernment and groundedness, like really got to learn to read our own feels. And, you know, as much as it might be like, we should do this, like, how do you feel in your body? Does it feel safe? Does it feel good? You know, and sometimes we make the wrong decision and we had to learn the lesson. And that's part of our growth and part of what then, you know, unfolds for us to be a better version of ourselves to other human beings. And, you know, so it will be interesting to see however many months, years down the track, what unfolds from this, you know, group of people and, you know, what cracks do appear, if any, what deeper lessons are learned, what more does come to the surface, because more and more of what's shady is becoming available to be seen and shed light on so that we can change these ways of being.
Yeah, I think a couple things. I don't know why people believed I think there was an image that was sold of them being this like power couple and have it figured out, maybe because, you know, all of the plant medicine or all the ceremonies or all the spiritual work that they're doing, but they've been in relationship for how long? Like, you don't really, like, it's like you grow in relationship, like, it's through getting through, you know, the first couple years, you're like in a honeymoon. Yeah. And then it's like the real spiritual work is the real work. And it's like, I don't know why, like, but it's through the marketing, it's through the imagery, it's, you know, and so I think that's like the veil came off, the mask came off, and people were like, okay, this is not a divine, like, we were sold this sacred relationship, this course, and this is not that. And another thing that, you know, you spoke to openness and the vulnerability, like, that through working with a teacher. And another thing that was mentioned a lot in comments was like, hey, Aubrey, lay off the psychedelics. And there was another comment that I'm not going to speak to because I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to share the specifics of, but the idea that he might be using psychedelics with sexual interaction. And that I never thought about that until I read this comment and imagined if he is using psychedelics in the context of sexual interactions. In my mind, for all the ceremony, I mean, I've not done a fraction of what he's done, but the instruction was to abstain from sexual interaction for days prior and days following. And that's because when you are opening up your energetic field, you, even a long-term partner, you do not want that their energetic field to penetrate in this deep way that how we are opened up with psychedelics. And if he is doing psychedelics, I don't know how much he's doing psychedelics, but if, you know, he's doing a lot of them and he's so free and open with them, and he is also being with partners, maybe multiple partners, it's like there is an openness that, you know, entities can get in, or a lot of distortion. And then also like him being the power dynamics that happen as a result of, you know, him being in the position of power. And then, you know, if he was doing, you know, they talked about doing the 5-MeO, the Bufo. We'll just say that.
It's Bufo.
Bufo, yeah. If they were doing the Bufo and with Alana, and then there was, I don't know if that happened, but the idea, if this was happening, the container that he was holding, that of it's lacking energetic integrity if he is mixing psychedelics with sexual interaction. And so if, you know, was he doing psychedelics when he got that message from ISIS, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just distortion that can happen as a result of using them so freely. And so it's almost like he's lacking the reverence that needs to be given to these powerful tools that can help us a lot. But if he's become so comfortable with them, that's another place where the integrity could be lacking right there as well.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's worth, like, at some point, like, having another conversation about plant medicine and, you know, like, that side of things, because it's becoming so popular. I don't even want to say mainstream, but it's like, you know, we touched on it in a few episodes back, you know, I think when we talked about your experiences, that there are many places that are, you know, offering it in a way that's not, the container isn't created, the integration isn't created. And so it's actually doing a lot of harm. But yeah, it's almost the way that he presents it, it's almost as though he does it recreationally in a way that it's outside of exactly that true spirit of, like, the going deep to do the work. I mean, I haven't done it. I don't know. And I don't know how he does it. But it's, I think it sounds like the way that he portrays it, it's a very normal part of his everyday life and regular. And yeah, so I think it's an important thing to talk about, because again, he's modeling and he's influencing by his way of being and what he says. And that could be very dangerous for people who aren't doing it in safe ways. And potentially he's not even doing it in safe ways.
Yeah. And one of the comments that someone said is, like, the idea of, you know, influencers being held responsible, and, like, influencers can do whatever they want, but they also, there's consequences as well. And, you know, everyone has the sovereignty to, you know, look at a situation and hopefully that we're moving into a time where people are taking more self-responsibility, and we're not just, like, seeing an influencer doing something and people are calling out, you know, if, like, hey, let's take a break from the psychedelics. Let's consider that maybe the identity of the psychonaut might be having some adverse ramifications if that's just, it no longer is given the respect that it's needed to stay safe in that container. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't know exactly how he's using it, when he's using it. Maybe he is, I don't know, but it seems that, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt, I don't know, but I think there's something to be said. And maybe if this is a wake up call for him, he might start to question, like, how did he get here? Yeah. How did he let this, you know, if he started from a pure place and he's gotten to this place where what he's created is now being called out and there's, like, this rejection, it's like, how did he get here? And it's an opportunity for him to introspect, go inward, and, you know, hopefully take to heart the reflections that people have made. I think with I think from an honest place, I think, you know, everyone, there of course are degrees of comments on the internet, but I think as a whole, people are like, hey, let's look at what's going on. And I think that if he humbles himself, like, people will respect that. And I think there is value that people see from him.
Yeah.
But this is not what people are willing to tolerate either.
Yeah. Hey there, this is Amanda coming to you from the editing process. And there's something I want to add on to this bit that we were just discussing. Interestingly, right after we recorded, Kate came across this post that speaks to what I was talking about with regard to the use of psychedelics and how they are used more recreationally and the potential issues from that. So I just want to go ahead and share with you what this post had to say, as I feel that it corroborates what I was speaking to. So this is from Amber Lee Sky. I did not follow her before, but it looks like she is the former partner of J.P. Sears. Calling it medicine doesn't change the fact that it's drug abuse, the dark side of the conscious community no one wants to talk about. In 2018, I left the jungles of Costa Rica and moved to Austin, Texas, to embark on a new chapter in the U.S. What I didn't anticipate was the culture shock I'd experienced within the conscious communities in the city. I quickly realized that people in Austin were using and abusing drugs and plant medicines on a level I never witnessed. Coming from a small shamanic community where I'd spent years working respectfully and traditionally with ayahuasca, I was floored to see people drinking homemade brews at parties with bumps of ketamine on top. Over the last 7 years, I've observed the waves of substances that have swept through this community, from ayahuasca to MDMA to ketamine to kratom, and sometimes a combination of many at once. It's clear that Austinites are enthusiastic explorers, but at what cost? Here's the thing, I get it. I've explored my edges too. I've been the 20-something girl rolling on Molly at a festival and the woman purging ancestral trauma in an ayahuasca ceremony. Exploration can be powerful and healing. My concern is the lack of intention, integration, and reverence, the spiritual bypassing of the shadow side, and the rampant overuse and abuse. In conscious communities, we often focus so much on the magic of peak experiences that we ignore the dark side. Mental breakdowns, overdoses, nervous system collapse, predatory pseudo-shamans, sexual assault, dark entity attachments, black magic. No one wants to acknowledge how open and vulnerable we are in altered states or how easily addiction can take root, especially in groups where heavy use is glorified. The amount of times I've heard people call party drugs medicine is laughable at this point. Let's be honest, there's nothing sacred or medicinal about stacking drugs at a party. Biohacking with supplements to avoid the inevitable crash post-high doesn't make drug abuse somehow better. Addiction is real. Lack of integration is real. As someone who has sat in over 70 ayahuasca ceremonies and has been 5 years sober of all mind-altering substances, I've been on all sides of this equation. I know what it's like to have peak spiritual experiences on a monthly basis and what it's like to suffer the consequences of pushing my nervous system too far without enough integration. I also know the clarity and beauty of sobriety, connecting deeply to other dimensions through meditation. In Austin, I believe the pendulum has swung too far and people are waking up to the toll. These substances can be healing and also damaging if not respected properly. Dependency and addiction can creep up quickly if you're not paying attention. And frankly, we shouldn't be playing in realms we don't understand so nonchalantly. We can't play in the light without acknowledging the dark. My prayer for this community is that we learn to love our bodies and souls more than the next high. That we honor the wisdom of the indigenous medicine carriers who welcomed Westerners into their lineages by respecting their medicines, and that we begin to embody the lessons these experiences offer so we can walk forward with more humility, compassion, and courage together. So that speaks to and somewhat corroborates what I was sensing and feeling in terms of having a very different experience with plant medicines, like she describes that she had, compared to what it seems like I was sensing is happening in the culture of Austin. I can't speak to how Aubrey Marcus is using them, but it does sound that he is using them quite extensively. And if he doesn't take time to integrate, if he doesn't take the time to really reflect upon what these medicines are trying to show him, he might benefit from taking a break, as people have suggested. Another video that I came across recently spoke to how what she perceived about Aubrey Marcus was that he's always trying to heal more. It was after a ceremony in the dark where she noticed that he went through this extensive and intense experience, and yet he still felt the need to heal more and do more work. I think that's what Kate and I have been speaking to in terms of the ego and always feeling like there is a higher level to get to and not being able to be at peace with what is. So I just wanted to leave you with this additional post as I felt it was relevant, and I appreciate the wisdom that she brought in from her, also from her experiences working deeply and intentionally with plant medicines in different environments, and then also seeing that contrast with how she has seen it play out within the Austin spiritual community.
Yeah. And I mean, I've watched on and off his episodes, and I do believe that there's a part of him that is genuinely seeking to know himself as the best version of himself. Does that mean that he's got it dialed in? Is just, that doesn't necessarily mean that, right? So again, we don't just take his word for gospel, and we use our discernment, because we can all be committed to the path and still be deep in the work, right? Like no one ever gets it all figured out. No one. And we don't want to ever give away that power, right? We commit to our work. We do our inner stuff. We show up as our best version of ourselves. And, you know, yeah, I think it's just it's such a check-in. It's a check-in, because it's such this dance between the ego and the spiritual side, or our soul selves, our consciousness. And to me, because that's been part of my experience with awakening, it was such a slap in the face to see this other way that my mind can work when I'm very identified and blind to my ego, and what it's like when I have that greater awareness of it and who I am and how I'm different when I'm in that part of who I am operating from that place. And when I bring it all back to sort of this idea of relationships, how different I am in relationship when I'm truly in alignment with that part of myself, as opposed to operating from mind and ego. And the experience and the greater joy and love and real love in my relationship when I'm in that aligned place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, you know, our low moments are an opportunity to reflect. And I'll just say, I do honor him for doing this so publicly.
Yeah.
Because we all are learning from it. And so, you know, we've been critical of him. You know, he is playing a role in all of us learning about ourselves and
absolutely
speaking up and being a trigger for us to voice what we are seeing, for sticking up for what we see as truth. Mm-hmm. And so I do appreciate that aspect of him, and because I don't think I could do that. I respect that in some way.
Yeah. And as we started out this episode, a lot of positive has come from this, you know, and it's turned on a lot of light and grounded positive things out of it. And so while that may not have been his original intention, a lot of good has come from it, and it's continuing to sort of bring up better in us through the avenues that we relate to the conversation each individually. And, you know, and I think that's part of the path, is like keep showing up for what is true and right in us, ground that, be that version of who we are, and use our voices, because that's been a big part of helping to, that's, I think, is what helps ground that energy and that other light. When we're seeing the distortion, we're seeing that manipulation, we're seeing something that doesn't feel right, using our voice, really starting to anchor in more truth. It feels so hard to say that word now, but more truth and what's true for us. But I think also an invitation for people to start to learn about truth, because there's, you know, it's a hard thing to talk about, but what does it really mean, my truth, you know? And again, it's an egoic truth, or the truth, you know, and maybe we can get a whole other episode on that and unpacking truth, because I saw an unfortunate misalignment with truth that was being called as spiritual truth when it was egoic truth. But, you know, we learn these things through the journey of awakening. It's like a never ending refinement of what we know, who we're becoming. So thank you to Aubrey for this incredible opportunity for all of us to reflect really deeply on our own journeys.
Yeah. And I'm sure this is just an awakening, not just, but this is an awakening for him.
Yeah.
To like shedding more of his ego. And I hope, you know, hopefully it's not something that pushes him in the opposite direction, but hopefully it's an opportunity to, you know, to be a higher a more evolved version of himself. And, you know, they talked about like this is part of their evolutionary process of loving more greatly. And maybe it is, just not in the way that they imagined it to be. So yeah, is there anything else that you want to speak to about this? Or
no, just like that last little comment you made there, like sometimes we think something's going to be something, but it's something else. And like, that's the, I feel silly saying this word, paradox of the journey too, is like, we think we're going this way, but then it's like, well, actually you need to look at it this way because there's our growth moment. So, you know, I don't know. I just wanted to make that comment to what you said. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think I feel complete now about talking to Ray Marcus. And I don't think that, you know, I'm glad that this happened for all of us. And I'm glad that so many of us are, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see different creators talking about this and different people speaking and having different viewpoints, angles about it. And so I think that's really cool. And so I think that moving forward, you know, we talked about this other series that we didn't really talk about it, but we talked about it off the camera, but another person, not as big, well, we'll known. Say as Aubrey Marcus, well-known spiritual teacher, but someone that is quite well-known, podcast series that I listened to the whole thing. You've listened to 4 episodes so far, and it's another instance of false light, false ego, narcissism, manipulation being exposed. And so that's something that in the near future, I think we're going to talk about as well, because I think it's fresh in terms of the what's going on energetically, in terms of what's happening. We're no longer allowing, or I think anything that's built on this framework, on this foundation, manipulation and ego, it's no longer, it's kind of like the curtain is being pulled back. It can no longer hide, and it can no longer be unseen. And so I don't think this is the end of this conversation as far as the topic is concerned. Maybe we're not going to be talking about Aubrey Marcus unless something else happens. But I don't think this is the end around this topic, because it is part of this awakening process that is happening on a collective level, where the dark structures, the old structures, the more fear-based structures are starting to crumble. And so we're going to be talking more about this, I imagine.
Well, thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.